In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Good morning. So we are entering just a whole sequence of holidays, holy days, aren't we? I think tomorrow is, what is it? Anybody remember? What? Oh yes, tomorrow is Halloween, which is short for All Hallows Eve, right? Which means that the day after is the Feast of All Hallows, or All Saints. And the day after that is the Feast of All Souls. And just a couple weeks later, we're going to be looking at Thanksgiving. And right after Thanksgiving comes Advent. And Advent starts the whole church year cycle of holidays, holy days. So a lot of observances coming up. But today we are observing the completion of our stewardship season here at St. Thomas, and we finish our stewardship season with an ingathering of our pledges that often we've written on these cards. And so as I thought about our scriptures from today and which ones might be most apt for our ingathering day, I thought about Zacchaeus, right, our gospel reading, because there's money all through there, right? I mean, what was Zacchaeus' job? Tax collector, that's right. And so, right, even his occupation was about money. And then Zacchaeus has this response to Jesus, right? Zacchaeus is changing his ways because of Jesus' presence in his house, and Zacchaeus makes a pledge. Did you hear it? What did Zacchaeus pledge? How much did he pledge? Four times for anyone he had wronged, and how much of his wealth? Half! There's actually a chart on the back here, but I don't see a half. Did anybody pledge half this year? No, me neither. So it's a good thing it's not a contest. Instead, we give proportionally, right? We give something that's meaningful. But as you've heard me say before, and I'll continue saying, when we practice stewardship, money is important. It helps with things, but money is not the main point. Right? God is not in need of our money, but we are in need of something of God's. And Paul talks about that in our epistle reading today, where Paul gives thanks to God for the church in Thessalonica and for their growth and for their increase. Right? And he's not talking about their growth and the number of people in their pews. And he's not talking about the increase of their church budget. But he gives thanks for the growth of their faith and the increase of their love for one another. And Paul talks about how even in the midst of hard times, in the midst of persecution and affliction, these faith and love keep growing within the Thessalonians. Now, affliction is something that has been kind of a common human experience these past couple years, right? If nothing else, the COVID-19 pandemic has drawn us together in our experience of loss and disruption. Now, unlike the Church of the Thessalonians, we who attend St. Thomas don't come here under the cloud of a threat of bodily harm, right? There are churches where that happens. They tend to be black churches or sometimes synagogues. But we don't tend to suffer under that particular persecution. But there are regular reports that we hear that come out that talk about the decline of mainstream Protestant churches. We think about the loss of members. We think about how, well, once upon a time we did this and now we do that. The world is changing around us, and that means that we are changing too. The world is changing inside our congregation. And that can feel difficult, but I think that can also highlight what our mission is today. It can help bring to light what our calling and ministry is now. as opposed to what it was before. Even difficult things, especially difficult things, can really help to show forth our charisms, our spiritual gifts, the things that God is calling us to be and to do and to notice, both as individual Christians and as a congregation. So difficulty in our life together can invite us to discover what God is doing and what God will do through us. And so I'm going to share an example of that with you from an earlier time in the life of the Episcopal Church. And this comes from the 60s and 70s. The civil rights movement in the United States represented a big challenge for the Episcopal Church. Right? The Episcopal Church has a long history of complicity with white supremacy. Right? And the genesis of chattel slavery in Jamestown, Virginia was in an Anglican communion. And so it wasn't until 1952 that the General Convention of the Episcopal Church, the General Convention is when representatives from all the dioceses across the Episcopal Church come together in a single body to decide what does it look like for us to be the church all together, right? And that happens every 3 years. Every 3 years since forever. And so in 1952, the General Convention gathered and it offered its first resolution decrying racism. The first time it said, oh no, this is actually a problem. And then came the civil rights movement in the 60s, right? Lots of things going on. Lots of what sometimes looked like chaos and difficulty and challenge. And the Episcopal Church said, what are we supposed to do here? What's going on? How do we respond to this? And so the General Convention met in 1967, 15 years after that first resolution. And it created this program that is just creatively titled, the General Convention Special Program. Tells you what you need to know, right? The General Convention Special Program. And this program was a commitment, a pledge by the Episcopal Church to give grants of $9 million. Can you imagine that? 1967, $9 million. To community groups that were working for racial justice. Now this money, these grants were not going to churches or to dioceses or to ministries of churches. It was going to community groups. In the words of one of the pamphlets about that program, that money was going to be used to do, quote, non-white work determined by non-white people. And if you've been around the Episcopal Church, then you might have noticed that we have lots of opinions, lots of very diverse opinions. And so just because a program got passed by General Convention doesn't even mean that everyone at General Convention agreed on it, much less the entire Episcopal Church. It just means that it had a successful path through the legislature. And so there was a lot of dissension, a lot of trouble, a lot of angst about we're giving away so much money and some of these groups seem kind of radical and we're just not so sure. And there was a lot of heated conversation and there were dioceses withholding their pledges to the national structure of the church and just all sorts of things going on. And there was actually called a special convention in 1969. Right? It was only the second one ever. A convention that happens between the three-year cycle of normal conventions. To talk about the General Convention special program. And the program was allowed to continue at that point, but a few years later, in 1973, it got shut down, folded into other programs, after having made grants of $7.5 million. And so as the program, the General Convention Special Program, was winding down, the presiding bishop of that time, Bishop Hines, commented about how The General Convention Special Program did not eliminate racism. It was never going to do that. And it didn't really make such a huge dent in the problem of racial injustice. But it was, he said, a candle in the gloom. Right? It was a symbol. And I think about how as a church we deal so much in symbols, right? I mean, the center of our Eucharistic service each week is a little bit of bread and a little bit of wine. And somebody coming in with disenchanted eyes will look and say, it's a little bit of bread and a little bit of wine. But we look and we know, oh, this is the body of Christ. This is the blood of Christ. These have deep, powerful meanings. And likewise, the GCSP, said Bishop Hines, was like a candle in the gloom. A symbol. I'll also note that the GCSP was going on at a time when the Episcopal Church was working on our new prayer book, the one that we still use today, the 1979 prayer book. And into that prayer book, we find the baptismal covenant, along with the promises at the end of it, such as the one that we will respect the dignity of every human being. Right, that was part of that same struggle, that same work. And so in our epistle today, St. Paul's prayer for the people of Thessalonica, for the church of Thessalonica, is that God will make you worthy of God's call and will fulfill by God's power every good resolve and every work of faith. Right, the General Convention Special Program was literally a good resolve, right? It was a resolution of convention. And it was a work of faith, something that God used to change lives. Right? Hundreds of community organizations were allowed to continue or to advance their work because of these grants. And the Episcopal Church was changed by it as well. And I think in that same way that we are called as God's people to engage in works that are disruptive, works that are audacious, works that are transformative, works that will change us, that will change our parish, that will change our community. Zacchaeus left his fellow tax collectors scratching their heads, like, what are you up to? I don't understand what you're doing or why. But Zacchaeus had a very clear resolve about what he was doing and why in his response to Jesus. And these pledge cards that we've been filling out over the past several weeks, some of you have been mailing them in, some have placed them in envelopes and put them in the offering plate. These look like foolishness to the world, don't they? Like some of you might have friends that would say, well, why are you taking on another car payment, but there's no car? But for us, this idea of pledging, this is the wisdom of God. Right? This is the invitation of God. These are our good resolves and our works of faith about the mission and ministry of St. Thomas in 2023. The ways that God will use us. The ways that God will be at work in this place. And what that means is that we get to watch. We get to watch through this next year as God uses these good resolves and these works of faith to do God's work and produce fruit, which is faith that grows abundantly and an increase in our love for one another. Amen.